This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
All right, let's talk about Travis Kelce, who yesterday tied the record for the most touchdowns ever in a Kansas City Chiefs uniform. Can we start with the first part of this? Is because I honestly think that this is really the takeaway from it. So you guys that were watching it on television, you remember what I'm talking about. They showed it on the broadcast. He scored the touchdown. Aikman thought he bobbled it for whatever reason. They then showed it and he didn't bobble it in any way. Aikman did quickly correct himself. Like, no, I was wrong. That's a great catch. It was a really good catch. So that happens. They then show where Kelce is on the list. Kelce has 83 touchdowns in a Chiefs uniform. Priest Holmes has 83 touchdowns in a Chiefs uniform. And Tony Gonzalez, I believe the number was 78. So they show all of that, and they were talking a lot about Travis Kelce, and we should, and we'll talk about Travis Kelce more specifically here coming up in a bit. Man, the story really is about Priest Holmes and the fact that Priest Holmes scored those 83 touchdowns in 5 seasons. That's the real story of yesterday. Is I'm sitting there looking at it, and I'm like, I mean, Travis Kelce, he's played a lot longer than Priest Holmes. Now, I get the difference in receiving touchdown, rushing touchdowns. I completely understand all of that. But I'm just sitting there looking at it. I mean, all of this damage from Priest Holmes happened in a 5-year stretch. It happened from 2001 to 2005. Now, he played another season with Kansas City, technically. In 2007, he was 34, and he didn't score a touchdown there, only played in 4 games. I think it was pretty clear at that point that Priest Holmes was done. Like, Priest Holmes didn't have any more. His body had given up at that point. But I'm sitting here, and I'm looking at it, and just over this 5-year stretch, I mean, if you go back and you look at the history of running backs, man, you ain't going to find too many guys over a 5-year stretch that were more dominant and were better players than what Priest Holmes was. I'm sitting here, Robin, I'm looking at his average during this time, 255 carries for 1,200 yards and 15 touchdowns. And yeah, when it comes to the receiving touchdowns, you also throw in another 2 or 3 a season. I mean, we're talking about an absolute touchdown machine, a beast. Over a 4 years. I mean, it really was like a dominant 4-year stretch, but you got to give him the 5 years because in that season, he did score 7 touchdowns. So I don't want to discount that as well. But I mean, we're talking about a guy that scored 75 touchdowns in a 4-year stretch. Just an incredible run Priest Holmes had in Kansas City.
We'll get to Travis Kelce's part here in a minute. Is Priest Holmes most underappreciated modern Chief? Because I bet if we went down to the plaza, and I know it's pouring down rain, so maybe we wouldn't walk around the plaza right now. And we asked Chiefs fans, hey, who's the best running back in Chiefs history? You're probably going to get a lot of Jamal Charles. You might get a little Kareem Hunt. You might get some older fans who say something like Mike Garrett. I bet you don't get many Priest Holmes answers. And that stat pack that you just read off is legitimately astonishing. Like, I'm with you. I understand rushing touchdowns are easier for running backs to achieve than receivers getting passing touchdowns. I know that my anytime touchdown bets would feel the same way. I get it, but
I would love I would love to go back in time to just find out what Priest Holmes was for anytime touchdowns. Like if we have the access that we have now where it's an app, I would love to know in 2003 what Priest Holmes was for anytime touchdowns. So this past week, Jonathan Taylor was minus 400 on FanDuel. He's minus 400. Priest Holmes probably would have been that, minus 400, minus 450. It is just such a foregone conclusion that he is going to score a touchdown at some point in this game. I mean, over a four-year stretch, this is what he did. In 2001, Priest Holmes ran for 1,500 yards and had 8 touchdowns. It's like a down year. The next year.
Oh, that's one of the better rushing seasons the Chief has had, and it's a down year. Crazy.
But what I'm just saying is he had 1,500 yards and 8 touchdowns. We're like, oh, I mean, I guess that's okay. He also had 2 receiving touchdowns, so he scored 10 touchdowns that year. 2002, Priest Holmes ran for 1,600 yards, had 21 rushing touchdowns, and had 3 receiving touchdowns. Fast forward to the next year, ran for 1,400 yards, had 27 touchdowns, didn't have any rushing touchdowns that year. And then a down year for Priest Holmes is when he only played in 8 games. He had 14 touchdowns in 8 games and 1 receiving touchdown. He scored 15 touchdowns in 8 games, and then that's kind of really the end of the run for Priest Holmes. We're really talking about a 3.5-year stretch of which he was an absolute terror around the National Football League.
I mean, it is, like I said, he might be the most underappreciated Chief that we've seen, like, in the recent era. Like,
I think people appreciate him. I just think he's one of those players that his offensive line was so good
that more of the credit goes
to the offensive line than goes to the player.
You're the one that always brings this stat up on the show that, was it Brian Waters, won offensive player of the week 1 week? He played left guard. Like,
crazy.
I feel like sometimes people use stats like that and the fact that Will Shields in the Hall of Fame, Willie Rofe's in the Hall of Fame, and they say that as like...
Brian Waters
was a dog. Casey Whitman was a good center
for
too,
sure.
By the way. Like, and when they had John Tate was good too before he got paid to go to Chicago. It feels like people use that as a reason to ding Priest Holmes when, I mean, there are a lot of good running backs and you could put them behind that line. I don't know they're going to have 8 games of 15 touchdowns. That's an insane stat pack. And by the way, Larry Johnson had a 2-year run before it ended for him too. Now he's just usage only, but Priest Holmes just woof. That's so good in Kansas City.
Yeah, no, you're right. I'm actually going to pull this up here really quickly, Rob. If you can talk for a little bit while I can pull this up, the 2004, the game that Brian Waters, he's the only offensive lineman ever to win AFC Offensive Player of the Week. All right, I found it. The Chiefs, they beat the Falcons that week 56-10. Just an absolute beat.
56
down.
In NFL games.
56-10. They beat them 56-10. Mike Vick was 7 of 21 for 119 yards. He didn't throw a touchdown pass. Here you go. Priest Holmes, 22 carries for 139 yards and 4 touchdowns. Derek Blaylock, 19 carries, 90 yards, 4 touchdowns in the game. Good old Eddie Kennison, he chimed in. He had 3 catches for 52 yards, but all of their touchdowns were rushing touchdowns that day. And yeah, Brian Waters, back on October 22nd of 2004, he won AFC Offensive Player of the Week. Insane.
I imagine you can click his name. That's going to be the best game of Derek Blaylock's career, right? There's Derek Blaylock never did anything close to that again in the league. Like, you can click his name on the pro reference page.
He probably scored 5 touchdowns in his career.
He probably did. I don't remember Derek Blaylock being like some, you know, shimmering great backup running back in Chiefs history. The fact he had 90 in a game is legitimately, that might be more crazy than Priest Holmes stats. Derek Blaylock had a 90-yard game? Really?
I don't know anything about Derek Blaylock, but I'm going to go out on the limb, and I'm going to guess that Derek Blaylock is coaching high school football somewhere. I'm just going to go out on a limb. I'm just going to randomly guess. I don't know. I have absolutely no clue. I'm going to imagine that he's coaching high school football somewhere in this great nation. It just makes a lot of sense to me. That would end up being the case.
By the way, real quick, about one other thing about Priest Holmes. That year he scored 27 touchdowns, he had a legitimate case for MVP. And that's coming from me, professional running back.
Yeah, you never think a running back has a chance to win MVP.
But in 2002-03, back when we gave the award to non-quarterbacks because writers were wrong, a 27-touchdown season deserved actual MVP consideration.
Yeah, I mean, that might be what Jonathan Taylor does this year. You're not giving Jonathan Taylor the NFL MVP. Jonathan Taylor might put up a very comparable stat this year. And something tells me you will not be arguing that Jonathan Taylor is the NFL MVP.
Do you think Jonathan Taylor's going to have 27 touchdowns?
He has 12 right now. I mean, that's hold on. He has 12 rushing touchdowns. I'm not even counting receiving touchdowns that Jonathan Taylor has so far. Let me pull it up here. Yeah, Jonathan Taylor has 12 rushing touchdowns, and he has 2 receiving touchdowns. So he has 14 right now halfway through the season. It ain't crazy to think he scores 27 touchdowns this season. And something tells me you ain't going to be arguing around Christmas time, hey, I think Jonathan Taylor's been the best player in the league.
Like I said, that was back in 2004 when the writers had no idea how to vote on these things. They've corrected themselves.
You know, they definitely have corrected themselves.
They learned from the error of their ways.
You know what? Let's talk about this. I know we don't have a whole lot of time left in this segment. I think Travis Kelce might honestly be the first person ever. I think he might be the first person that they told us that he was in the best shape of his life, and they actually ended up being right. Kelce looks really good right now. I think a lot of that is the fact that there is so much attention elsewhere on the team, but that's kind of also how we imagined it being, right? Like, we also kind of imagine that now at this stage in your career, you're not the number one focus of everything. The Chiefs don't need Kelce to have 85 yards and 2 touchdowns every game. But the fact that Rice is playing at a high level, Worthy's playing at a high level, you got a great short yardage back with Kareem Hunt, you have all of these different things. Kelce's just doing a lot of the same things. I mean, he had a big reception yesterday. He caught a touchdown yesterday. Like, this Kelce's moving and playing with a lot more energy this season than I think he was last year. I was actually thinking this as I was watching the game, like, are we 100% certain that Kelce's done at the end of the year? Or could Kelce sign another 1-year deal and just, I want to continue to play football. I'm having a lot of fun. My fiance, she is fully supportive of me playing football. She loves it. She wants me to play for as long as I want to play, as long as I feel like I can help. I mean, one thing, and I think most teams say this, but I think it is very apparent watching the Chiefs. All of the Chiefs pass catchers seem to like each other. Like, genuinely seem to be friends with each other. I don't know. I know you're not really on TikTok, but for those of you that are, like, you always see Juju on Xavier Worthy's TikTok. You always, like, it is very obvious that a majority of them hang out with each other. And Kelce, even as the old guy in this conversation, like, I mean, he's 13 years older than Xavier Worthy. Like, they just seem to have such a great relationship with each other. I do think that conversation comes up at some point this season. I'm not 100% convinced that Kelce's done at the end of the year. I was coming into it. I was, yes, Kelce's done. You signed a 1-year deal. Your girlfriend's got an album out. Now you're engaged to her. That's your fiance now. This is the end of Travis Kelce. I'm not 100% sure if that's the case. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. Like, we never really saw the absolute completely fall off the cliff season for Tony Gonzalez. Tony Gonzalez was still very productive at the end of his career and just decided, hey, I'm going to go work for Amazon. I'm going to go work for NFL Network. I'm out the game. Maybe that's what Kelce ends up deciding to do. But I believe him. I think he's having a lot of fun. I think he enjoys coming to work. If the Chiefs are going to run it back again with the wide receiver room and bring everybody back, maybe that's enough to bring Kelce back for one more year on a 1-year contract, which I'm guessing he's willing to work with the Chiefs. I don't need every single penny. Give me a decent base salary. Allow me to make the rest of it up with incentives. Like, financially, I'm good. I'm making money for my podcast. My wife's a billionaire. We don't ever have money. Is not something that we're worried about in our lives. I think you can very easily see that scenario where Travis Kelce comes back to play football next year for the Chiefs. Coming up on the other side, Rob and I both agree that ESPN was a little bit out of pocket yesterday. I'll explain. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. Tune in Mondays at 4 to hear the play-by-play voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holthus, on your home for Chiefs football, 96 Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
All right, coming up in a little bit, we'll continue to talk about Mike Pinnell. Mike Pinnell is available. He was released by the Cincinnati Bengals because he is an established veteran player. There is no waiver claim for him. So if the Chiefs want Mike Pinnell, I mean, he's available. I'm assuming Mike would want to come back. I'm assuming that the locker room would also like Mike Pinnell back. Well, Carrington, how do you know? Chris Jones just said this 2 weeks ago.
Everything, and hopefully, you know, life do a full circle and we get my guy back. Mike Pinnell is a heck of a locker room guy. And, you know, so many things I can say about my brother. We got to get my brother back.
He's available. This is a no-brainer. This is a no-brainer. He's available. Bring him back. Bring Mike Pinnell back. You were looking for a defensive lineman, looking for a D tackle, looking for a big body. We were talking about them making a trade. We were talking about them trading for Colin Saunders. Why give up a 6th-round pick? Why give up a 7th-round pick when you can go pick Mike Pinnell up right now for free? He's right there. Bring him back in the locker room. Who doesn't love Mike Pinnell? Rob, I'm setting the FanDuel odds right now. I'm setting Mike Pinnell to practice with the Chiefs Thursday at minus 250. What are you setting the line at?
Practice? To be back or practice?
Practice on the field, practicing with the Chiefs on Thursday. Tomorrow to me is a little bit lofty, you know? You got to give him 24 hours. I don't think he's practicing tomorrow. I do think he's going to be on the team. I think he's going to be on the field Thursday practicing with this team. Come on now. I know the Chiefs. They do this every time.
I'm trying to run through how the Kareem Hunt thing went last year. He signed, practice squad, practice. Yeah, you're probably right. Minus 230, minus 190, somewhere in there that he's practicing with the Chiefs on Thursday. Or at least there's video of him in a jersey. Maybe he's in shorts and a t-shirt on the side, but he's got 64 back on and feels good.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, right now, I mean, I wish they would let me take that parlay. I wish right now on FanDuel I could take Mike Pinnell is on the team, Chiefs win on Sunday parlay right now. I'll take that at even money. That feels like the right thing to do heading into this matchup. All right, I want to play this audio for you guys. Now, I know that some of you don't like Troy Aikman. I actually think Aikman's the best color commentator that
Wait,
they have.
Wait, what? You think Aikman's the best of all the national shows?
I think Aikman's the best. Yes,
did, I
do.
Did I miss a news? Did Collinsworth and everyone else just fall off a cliff?
I think Aikman's better than Chris Collinsworth is.
Oh, my goodness.
I think he's better
Greg
than
Greg Olsen die?
I like Greg Olsen. But the thing of Olsen is he just doesn't call enough prominent games anymore. Olsen's kind of out of sight, out of mind. But I really do like Greg Olsen. But now that they fired him to the B games, I just don't really hear a lot of Greg Olsen in my life anymore. He pops up a little bit on Red Zone, and then that's kind of it. I don't really see a whole lot of Greg Olsen other than that. But I do like him. run on high. No, Aikman's really good at this. Chiefs fans are really mad at him. Craig Carton's really mad at him. Like, everybody thinks that Aikman either is a hater or too critical or whatever it is, which lets me know that Aikman is probably right there in the middle, and Aikman is one of the few that actually says interesting things as the game going on. Now, this has nothing to do with Troy Aikman. But yesterday, you guys remember, Rashee Rice kind of flicked the ball. Now, I do not believe he was trying to hit the defensive player with the ball. I believe he was getting up. I think he was trying to flick it to the referee. It was kind of wrong place, wrong time. The defensive player was there. Now, I certainly understand why the defensive player reacted the way that he did. I think every player in the league reacts the way that you did. Hey, man, what'd you just do? He got up in his face. I think you can tell by Rice's body language. He's saying, oh, my bad. I didn't mean to do that. I don't think he was trying to do this. Well, you could tell. ESPN, they had it fired up. They were ready to go the moment that Rashee Rice did something during the game. Listen to this.
Rashee Rice was injured last year in week 4. That cost him the rest of the season with a knee injury. Then in July, was sentenced to 30 days in jail, 5 years probation for his role in a multi-car crash in Dallas. He pleaded guilty in district court to 2 third-degree felony charges. The league suspended him for the first 6 games of the season. He was able to practice with the team all of camp. He was back in the building after 3 weeks of the suspension, but couldn't practice. He was in meetings and then got to ramp up prior to last week.
Hey, man. I understand that that's part of Rashee Rice's story, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't tell his story. You absolutely should. Just didn't really feel like the time. It felt like ESPN was waiting for anything to happen with Rashee Rice to remind you of, oh yeah, he was suspended the first 6 weeks of the season. You guys remember why? It felt a little bit unnecessary. A little bit unnecessary. Now, if he had done something wild, and okay, you could have justified it to me. I think the whole flipping the ball thing was just blown out of proportion. I don't think he meant to hit him with the ball. I think it was wrong place, wrong time. I thought the referee quickly diffused the situation. You can tell Rice goes over on the sideline and tries to tell Andy Reid. I think it's just an unfortunate thing that happened throughout the course of the game. But man, they had that thing hot and ready to go for Rashee Rice. Just felt a little bit of out of pocket to me from ESPN.
It's like they were waiting on anything negative for Rashee Rice. Not, you know, a big catch, not a, you know, first down, not. If he had dropped a ball, if he had fumbled, because he fumbled, I believe, earlier in the game, but he recovered his own fumble. If anything bad is even dramatic, if anything negative happened with Rashee Rice, they had that thing ready to roll, which, to our point before the break, that's dirty by ESPN.
Yeah, for no reason.
Like, listen, he did that. All those things happened. He's punished accordingly. 100% agree with all that stuff. But you were waiting, if you're the ESPN graphics department, for a misstep in the game to remind everyone, oh, not only did this bad thing happen on the field, but you'll also remember off the field.
Yeah, I mean, I guess like with this, someone says, well, C-Dot, did he say anything wrong? No, I don't think that's what we're talking about. I mean, everything that he said is factual. That's not why I'm upset. It was just more the timing of everything, and it just didn't feel very necessary in the course of broadcasting the game. Yes, sometimes I understand that we got to talk about the off the field things, what happens with the player. I mean, it wasn't his first game back. It wasn't like Rashee Rice started some brawl. It was unruly throughout the course of the game. I just thought them having it queued up to then tell you about his offseason and him being suspended. I thought it was a little bit of dirty pool. I really did. I thought it was a little bit of dirty pool by ESPN. The top story right now, I would say, with the Chiefs is the injury to Isaiah Pacheco. He got hit in the knee late in that game. He got back up. You could tell he was clearly hobbled by it. He was able to finish the game, but I think we're starting to learn now that the injury is maybe a little bit more serious. Here is Nate Taylor of ESPN with the latest on Isaiah Pacheco.
And so, you know, again, I'm not a doctor, ladies and gentlemen, but of course that involves, you know, adrenaline and wanting to go out there and finish the game. You know, I think Pacheco's actually started to find a rhythm.
The whole running game is finding a rhythm.
Correct. So it's a bit of a, you know, unfortunate situation where I don't think it's medically reasonable to put him out there against the Buffalo Bills, even though it's a very marquee game before you have the bye week.
You but by 3 weeks by sitting him.
Yeah, by with having the bye week, I think you should do right by the player. We know the Chiefs have been developing Breshad Smith throughout the course of this season. We know the Bills struggle to tackle people with dynamic ability. So that'd be interesting to see. You know, I know that this might increase some of the trade speculation, but I don't know how much that was going to change even before the deadline at the running back position, because we know the Chiefs have been basically surveying the rest of the league for about a month now when it comes to the running back position. Yeah. So it's unfortunate because Pacheco, I thought, actually showed better vision. He actually showed a little bit more burst against the Commanders last night. But I don't think it's wise to really play him. He doesn't have to practice this week, really. You know, take all the precaution necessary. Sit him down for a couple weeks. You come back from the bye week, you get another chance to assess how he feels.
I want to give you guys my quick thoughts on this, and then I want to play for you guys what a doctor had to say about Isaiah Pacheco. I don't think this changes anything for the Kansas City Chiefs. If your reaction to this is, oh, well, now they're going to make a trade. The Isaiah Pacheco injury that we think could keep him on the shelf for 2 to 3 weeks, that is not the tipping point for them to go get Breece Hall, for example. I think the Chiefs have pretty consistently shown you that they're happy with their running back room. And I have been as critical of the running back room as anybody. I mean, I still, in theory, would like for them to go get a running back. I don't think they need to go get Breece Hall, but I'm not certainly against them making a move. I think they've kind of figured out the rhythm when it's come to this running back room between the three of them. Between Isaiah Pacheco, when to use Kareem Hunt and keep him fresh, and adding in Breshad Smith, I think they figured it out. In fact, I think they're using their run game correctly with the offense that they have. It's not dynamic. It's not overpowering. But over the last 3 weeks, they've shown a commitment to it. They have been giving the carries out. It's been effective. They're using each running back correctly and what I think best fits their role. I think they found a pretty decent rhythm with their running back room. It isn't great. It's not dynamic. But I think it complements their offense and what they need to do very well. So I'm not here to be negative. I don't want you guys to think now that this injury happened to Isaiah Pacheco and that means that the Chiefs are open for business when it comes to a running back. You know what's about to happen? The Chiefs about to bring up Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He knows the offense. He knows the system. He's healthy, hasn't been playing. He can certainly give you a lot of the same characteristics that you've already been getting at the position, and it's no additional cost. I just don't want anybody to get their hopes up. Maybe nobody is getting their hopes up. I just want to keep you in line in what I think is very realistic when it comes to the Chiefs. The Chiefs' solution to this is not going to be going out and getting themselves a running back. It's going to be trusting Clyde Edwards-Helaire or trusting Elijah Mitchell, who has just been getting DMPs. You want to talk about somebody who's got it good. Elijah Mitchell. I think that's how they end up doing it. I think Kareem Hunt shifts over into being their one. You know he can do the job. We saw him do it last year. I think you give Breshad Smith more carries, more opportunities, and I think you sprinkle in a little Elijah Mitchell, maybe even a little bit of Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and you go from there. I mean, we have no reason to think that Elijah Mitchell's unhealthy. He's just been getting DMPs. I can't remember the last time I saw him get a carry. I can't remember the last time I saw him help this team out. So I just want us to have realistic expectations about what they're about to do. Now, I think it's an even fair argument, Rob, if you want to have it, and I get if you don't want to have it and just focus in on the game. Now with Mike Pinnell being available, do we even think they're in the market to go make a trade anymore? Like, if you were telling me that they have an opportunity between now and November 4th to just go get Mike Pinnell back at no cost, I now think the Chiefs are going to turn around and spend a fifth or a sixth round pick on a player that's going to be done at the end of the season. Why not just bring back Mike Pinnell and you can have the exact same circumstances and you can keep all of your draft picks. I actually think now that Mike Pinnell is available, I think it could potentially take them out of the market where I don't know if they're making a trade anymore.
You don't think they're making any trade now? Because I was going to ask you kind of beat me to the point there. We talked about this before the show and I agree with you. I didn't think they're going to make a move at running back. And I don't think Isaiah Pacheco being out 1 to 4 weeks, we can play the audio from Dr. Jesse Morse about what these things tend to be, changes, you know, oh man, Brett Veach is, you know, oh, we got to start making calls on running back. I don't think it changed anything for the Chiefs. I wonder though, I think Mike Pinnell being a Chief, we think, in the next 3 to 5 days does change things. Because we were saying they need to add a D tackle, and then I was a proponent of trading for a pass rusher, which looked better last night, but still a little bit flawed. I think the fact that you can get Mike Pinnell, fix one of your problems, and do it on the absolute cheap, I do now think maybe the Chiefs are going to make a move for an offensive player because they can fix their defensive hole without any acquisition cost. It costs nothing to bring back Mike Pinnell. It brings back costs nothing to bring back Colin Saunders largely either. I think the news today about Mike Pinnell does change how I feel about the Chiefs are going to handle the trade deadline. I don't think it's going to be Breece Hall or Achan, but I wouldn't be shocked if they bring in a body. I think Mike Pinnell has shaken things up a little bit in Chiefs trade world, just a hair.
I understand technically it would be making a move. If their move in the next 5 days is trading for Colin Saunders and Mike Pinnell, I just don't really classify that as making a move. I know technically it is making a move. Going out to get DeAndre Hopkins was making a move. I don't know if bringing back a guy that just recently got released and then another guy who's not playing for his team that you got some familiar with and then you just swap seventh round picks. I just wouldn't technically consider that making a move. I get why people would. That's just not the category that I would put it in. I think now that options that they feel comfortable with are now popping up. I guess, for example, what I mean is I would be surprised if they go make a Joshua Uche kind of move. I'd be surprised now if they would go get Jalen Phillips, if they can just go get Mike Pinnell. They always choose that option over the other option. One option is a guy who is still on his rookie contract in the final year of a fifth round deal, or the other option is a guy that they know who just recently got released, so you can probably give $500,000 to between now and the end of the season. Which one do you guys think the Chiefs go with?
See, I've been saying this all along. I think now, I've always thought they're going to make two moves, D end and D tackle. I think we now know what the D tackle move is going to be.
100%.
It feels like it's the most obvious thing we could possibly imagine. I think now that ammo they were going to use to get, you know, a conditional sixth to go get random defensive tackle, like they did for Derek Nnadi in the offseason, I think that trade has now been nullified. There's no need to make that trade because Mike Pinnell's just sitting around. And then you go trade for a Jalen Phillips type. You go trade for a, you know, Joshua Uche type. I don't think they're trading for Kayvon Thibodeau. I don't think they're trading for, you know, elite top-of-the-line edge rushers. Like, I don't think they're going to pry Bosa away from the Bills. I don't think any of that. But I think a late-round pick for a flyer D lineman on the edge, an edge rusher, is still very much in play.
Someone on the text line says, C-Dot, you're right. That's not a move. That's a transaction. Yeah, that's a fair way of putting it. Great job, text line. That's what I would consider it. Trading for Colin Saunders is a transaction. That's what they made. Teams make transactions all the time. That ain't a move to me. Them to go get Kayvon Thibodeau is a move. Them bringing back Mike Pinnell is a transaction. That's what it is. That's just roster management is what I would consider that. Let me play for you guys what Dr. Jesse Morris had to say. Here he is talking about Isaiah Pacheco, what happened, and a timeline for his injury.
Medial collateral ligament is responsible for protecting the medial or inside part of the knee. It also attaches to the meniscus right here. It also helps to protect the ACL. So oftentimes when guys get tackled on the outside of the knee, this is the thing that gets beat up because of where it's located. Now, this is traditionally if he got super lucky, he can play next week against the Bills, huge game in Buffalo. If he didn't get lucky, he could miss one to potentially two games if this is a grade one or mild sprain. If this is a grade two, a partial tear, usually these guys aren't bouncing up like he did, and usually they would have had a lot more instability and a lot more pain that would have held them out for 4, sometimes up to 6 weeks. So this is likely either a grade one or a mild grade one, basically a tweak, and he got lucky. We'll have to see over the next couple of days where they're at with him. Maybe they get an MRI if there's any meniscus involvement or whatnot, but it sounds like his ACL was spared. His MCL could be a little bit in question, but we probably won't know until today or tomorrow exactly the specifics, but I'll give you more. Kareem Hunt got 2 different touchdowns. Besides that, you know, Rashad Smith did a little bit of running, but no receptions last night. So we'll have to see how it looks heading into a huge game in week 9.
That was Dr. Jesse Morris talking about Isaiah Pacheco. I would be surprised if Pacheco plays against the Bills. They got a bye week, and I think we can start having this conversation heading into the Broncos game on whether or not Isaiah Pacheco is going to play or not. Let's switch gears for just a little bit. We'll talk some college football here coming up in about 5 minutes or so. I want to play this audio for you guys. Speck, He's been chomping at the bit. I don't believe we had a spec says last week. I mean, they were playing the Commanders. I mean, I wasn't really too interested in what the boss man had to say, his thoughts and opinions on that one. But spec said, you know what? I don't have a football thought today. I actually have a baseball opinion based on last night's World Series game. Here is the latest edition of spec says.
All right, guys, the Chiefs game ended at about 10 o'clock last night, and I had seen that Shohei had two more bombs and two more doubles. So I decided to stay up to see his at-bat in the bottom of the ninth. And so I had about 30, 40 minutes to kill. You know, I was on Instagram learning how to make crockpot meals, this and that. And Shohei comes up, four fingers go in the air. He intentionally walks. Nobody on base, one out, bottom of the ninth. It should be illegal. You should not be allowed to walk anybody if there's nobody on base. Now, if you want to argue setting up a double play, yeah, I'm all for it. But on baseball's biggest stage, its biggest player was not allowed to perform for nine straight innings and five straight at-bats. In no other sport is this possible. Let's just say that the Chiefs and Commanders were tied, two-minute warning, fourth quarter, and the Commander said, Patrick Mahomes, we don't want you to play this 2 minutes. You got to bring in Gardner Minshew. Western Conference Finals, Rockets say, Steph Curry, why don't you go sit down? Warriors, please bring in Sean Livingston. Now, you may argue that the best way for the Blue Jays to win that game was not pitching to Shohei Ohtani, and you may be right, but that's not what sports is about. That's not what entertainment is about. That's not why people tune in to watch or listen. People tune in and watch to listen to watch stars perform at their peak, and baseball, for 3 hours last night, did not allow this to happen. It's crazy. It should be outlawed moving into 2026.
I understand the spirit of what he's saying, Rob, but I don't really know how you police this. Like, I don't know how you can force the other team, hey, you guys have to give Shohei a pitch to hit. Like, what's then stopping them from having their pitcher just come in and throw three, four in the dirt and just put them on first base anyway? Now, I understand this is why they eliminated the intentional walk, because it was just that he stands up, he throws four pitches, and that's really the end of it, where he intentionally throws four balls. I just don't know how you can ever force the defense to then throw the ball to Shohei Ohtani to give him a pitch to hit. I mean, I think we all wanted to see Shohei in the bottom of the ninth with an opportunity to go win the game. They didn't give him the opportunity, but at least for me, I found intrigue on, it was obvious he was going to try to steal a base. They had Mookie Betts hit right after him. He's up there. It's no outs. It's, hey, are you going to try to steal second base to put yourself in scoring position where a double or a single could potentially score you? I understand what Speck is trying to say. Let's try to force more action. Let's try to get the stars more involved at the end of the game. I just think there's some people that come along, a Bonds, a Shohei. I don't really know how you can force the other team to give that player a chance to beat them.
Yeah, I understand what Speck's saying. I vehemently disagree with it, though, because the other players in the Dodgers have the opportunity to become a star. And you know what the Dodgers are? They're not short on star power. For his Warriors analogy, hey, we're going to take Steph Curry out of the game. We're going to force him to play Sean Livingston. We know what happens in that world? Klay Thompson in his prime is a problem. Kevin Durant in his prime is still a problem. The Blue Jays said, Shohei Ohtani can't beat us, so we're not pitching to him. Freddie Freeman still came to bat. He can make a play. He's allowed to go get a hit.
For sure.
He's paid a lot of money to go get a hit. Ain't no one stopping him. Mookie Betts. I don't know exactly their lineup card every night. And like Mookie Betts is some, you know, quadruple A. Can he make the roster? Plucky. No, Mookie Betts is a star. He can go up there and get a hit and bring Ohtani in. Like Ohtani, I thought at first glance he was safe too on the steal. Basically could have stole second and then won the hits and the Blue Jays would have won. It blew up in your face. Like, I get that it's boring, but someone else step up and win the game. That's the strategy of it. The same way if you quadruple team Steph Curry. Hey, Steph. Hey, Clay. Go hit a shot. If he misses it, are we going to boo the rules? No. I don't mind an intentional walk.
Yeah, and in this scenario, I mean, you put somebody on who, how many stolen bases does Shohei have this season?
He had 50 last year.
Yeah, I know he had a bunch. I just don't want to say a wrong number. The text was like, oh, well, he really had. I mean, you still run the risk. I mean, they did. They ran this risk multiple times of you put a guy who has tremendous speed, who can steal bases, you put him on the base pass. Now, he didn't have as many this year as he did. I mean, last year he had 59. This year he had 20. But we think we all know Shohei's got great speed, a very versatile player. I mean, you still run the risk of putting that guy on the base pass, and that guy can potentially steal second or third base. So I certainly understand what Speck is saying. I don't know if baseball just as a game can ever really allow that to be the case. Coming up on the other side, let's talk a little bit of college football. And our guy Mitch Holtz is set to join us coming up at the top of the hour. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather.
It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
No matter what side of the state line, KC loves its college teams. The Drive gives you an update on the Wildcats, Tigers, and Jayhawks.
I don't think he made it. I don't think he made it. He did not. K-State stops Kid Ray Miller at the one.
It is.
Yes.
Now the walk-off winner from 61. Harrison Meavis.
The local kid from Lawrence scores first.
It's time for the Cover 3.
All right, let's start with Kansas. And I don't even honestly know if we're going to get to the other schools. We just like playing the open because Rob made it and we never do it. All right, I've asked this question before, and I've never really got a solid, definitive answer about what program does KU feel like they should be consistently on a year-in, year-out basis. So that's question number one. Question number two I would ask KU fans is, and I was going back and forth with KU fans about this. I feel like NIL has created very unrealistic expectations because now finally you feel like there is a cheat code to get to the talent, which there is a cheat code. But one thing I think is very important to note is the cheat code that you now have, everybody has access to. I'm going to ask KU fans a very, very honest question. What or where is their recruiting base? Where is KU getting talent from? Because they don't typically have the state on lock. And anytime that there has been that prospect that you felt in the state of Kansas could really move things, that player usually goes to Kansas State. Avery Johnson was that kind of prospect. Dylan Edwards was that kind of prospect. So usually those five-star kids, in the same way that you guys have that control in basketball, Rob, you remember whenever Perry Ellis was coming out, Perry Ellis never considered going to Kansas State University. There was only one university you were going to. You were going to Kansas. I think that same thing happens in a lot of ways with K-State's football program. I also would ask KU fans this question. If you're the top running back in Kansas City, Missouri, what would have to happen for you not to go to Missouri or go to K-State and go to KU? Because we've seen this situation pop up a bunch, and that player sometimes goes to Missouri. That player sometimes goes to K-State. That player very rarely goes to Kansas. So I'm asking, where is KU's recruiting base? Because most schools, Rob, we would agree, I can clearly point to you where their foothold is for Missouri. Missouri has a plan. We're going to attack Kansas City. We're going to attack St. Louis. We attack Memphis. We attack Florida, Texas. Like, there are clear pockets that Missouri goes to find talented players. Where does KU go? So some of this, why I give Lance maybe more grace than I think KU fans are getting, and I just don't think KU fans want to at least acknowledge this about their program. Other than money, why would a top prospect come to your school? Like, you guys haven't shown you put guys in the league. You guys don't play in the SEC or the Big Ten, so you don't feel like you're going up against the best on a game-in, game-out basis. So some of this, I think KU fans just kind of got to be realistic about what kind of program they are and where they kind of fit into the pecking order. The other thing I would say about KU, if you want to make the decision to get rid of Lance Leipold, you got to be real about where you fit in the pecking order just this season, because this is maybe going to be one of the toughest coaching searches we've seen in a while. I mean, think about the jobs that are open. Penn State's open. Florida's open. LSU is open. So, I mean, even in this coaching cycle, we think the KU probably gets the 10th or 11th best candidate in this scenario. I know you guys might not want to hear it. I know I'm an outsider, and I always joke and say I'm staying out of KU business here. I would give Lance more time than what I think you guys are getting him. And I think that KU is running into a problem that a lot of schools are running into. And Missouri runs into this. Right now, nobody is happy with the kind of program they are. How many programs in college football are happy with where they are right now? I mean, LSU wasn't happy with where they were. Penn State wasn't happy with where they were. Like, we can go, Florida wasn't happy. Florida State wasn't happy. Like, what program would you say right now is content and happy with where they are? Everybody thinks they should be better than what they are. Everybody thinks. Missouri thinks they should consistently be a team that goes to the playoff. I mean, they've been that three times in 15 years. They've been that. Now they think we should do it all the time. So I just want to caution you guys, and I know this is not a word that people practice in college football. I would have a little bit more patience than what I think KU fans are currently showing to Lance Leipold.
So I am, first and foremost, not at all advocating for Lance to be fired. I'm actually pro-patience, pro-keeping Lance. I would like to see some shakeup on the staff, maybe a new defensive coordinator.
Yeah, for
like,
sure.
Because I do think the program feels a little bit stuck in neutral. Like, they feel like they've hit a bit of a plateau. I'm willing to give Lance more time to go to the next step. For a Missouri analogy, there was a while where Missouri fans, they got a little restless with Eli Drinkwitz. Remember, he had a few years like 6-6, 6-7, 6-7. Like, he just wasn't hitting that next level. He then got a better recruiting base. He then hit that next level. They're now an 8-9 win program. So I'm willing to be patient with Lance Leipold to see if he can do that. What I do think, though, where KU fans, I feel like, are not wrong to say this is, when you ask what the recruiting base is that still a thing in college football? Because I would bet you money, Indiana is not one that you go, man, they have a great recruiting base. They're number two in the country right now.
You're 100%. But what I think is, what I think is happening with KU, and this can fit the analogy, is, well, then why can't everybody be the 14 and 15 Royals? Like, we watch baseball, right? I mean, the 14 and 15 Royals, they didn't have the most talent of anybody, but We haven't seen anybody do what the 14 and 15 Royals have done outside of them in a 50-year stretch of baseball. So, like, I think we at least need to acknowledge what Indiana is doing is an incredibly, incredibly unique thing. Like, they might honestly be in the middle of the greatest thing we have ever seen in a sport. They've been playing college football for 120 years. We've never seen anything like Indiana. Now we think everybody can just magically one day wake up and be Indiana. Vanderbilt has been terrible our entire life. They found the one perfect quarterback.
Mm-hmm. And coach. They nailed it at coach, too.
100%. But I think it's also important to note that that coach is an alum. So now, if you're going to call on Vanderbilt, I don't know what it would take to get Clark Lee to leave. I honestly don't know what it would take. He's in his 40s. He played football at Vanderbilt. He was a graduate existing at Vanderbilt and then moved up to become the head coach. I mean, I know it sounds crazy. He's probably already at his dream job. So you just ended up finding the right combination of all of these kind of things. I don't say this with any shade. I don't know if KU's ceiling is much higher than where they are as a football program. Now, sure, could they have a one-off year every once in a while? Absolutely. But, Rob, you love KU football. They've had three great seasons in 30 years. They've had three of those things. So are you trying to build something lasting, or are you hoping that you catch another flash in the pan and maybe try to replicate 2007?
Now, I know we're going to break. To answer your original question, what program does KU strive to be? What do they think?
I'm guessing Iowa State's the answer.
Iowa State is 100% the answer. And now, is Iowa State a flash in the pan? No, they're a consistent program. They're down a little bit this year from what they expected. Yes.
Which actually seems to be more common with Iowa State than
100%. But Matt Campbell's been to a Fiesta Bowl. Matt Campbell's been to multiple Big 12 title games. Like, I would also tell you, like, Iowa might be a more fertile recruiting base than Kansas is for the University of Kansas. But it's not like Iowa is Alabama or Texas or Louisiana, where it's just insanely talent rich. Like, as a KU fan, I point to Iowa State. And by the way, Matt Campbell's been there a long time. So I am, again, team patience with Lance Leipold. But I do understand why fans are a bit frustrated, because it feels like a little bit with the program right now, you're spinning your tires in mud and you're just getting nowhere. On the heels of a 5-7 season, what feels like a 6-6 season, isn't the progression that fans wanted to see this season.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll be joined by Mitch Holtz, his voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs offer up another beatdown on national television. We'll talk to Mitch about it next. Keep it right here. So drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.